know Jesus,
and you have grown and been a Christian for a while.
Right there and let that record you.
Okay, thank you. But if you have known the Lord and you've grown at all, you are ahead of somebody else. And so that's the important thing. You're reverent in your behavior. You're respectful of what God is trying to teach you in your own life. And it talks about not malicious gossips. And I think, you know, that reminds me of speech, our speech. Girls today can be so crude. We can, because, you know, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's just saying those words. But, you know, you have to remember, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of building other people up. And I don't know about you, but I think there's a verse, and I haven't memorized it, but it talks about when we get to heaven, every word we've ever said might be written in the sky. I don't know about you. That's scary, mm-hmm. You know, because, and so be real careful. I'm talking about all of us now, about what you let come into your heart and your mind and accept as that's okay, because everybody's doing it. And saying those words. Now, the thing about enslaved to much wine, you know, this is becoming a problem with Christians today. Well, you know, they're beginning to accept it. And, you know, the scripture says, too, it says, if meat or drink, if what I do offends my brother, I will not do it. And it can. I mean, you just, sometimes we excuse ourselves, and but we need to set a high standard in our own lives. And we know that it's a problem for some. And I don't want to be guilty of encouraging anyone to drink at all. We've had a guy on our staff, and his son, when he was about 12, 13, he began to have a problem in a... And he told his dad, he said, I don't care, I'll leave home. I love it too much. His first drink. And so it's easy to get enslaved to. And you just don't want to be the one that, well, so-and-so does it. But we don't, and this thing of addictions, you know, Waylon's talked about pornography. And I listened one day to a message by Josh McDowell. Is that name familiar to you? Okay, on YouTube, you could. I would suggest you go listen to this. But Josh McDowell is a famous speaker, Christian speaker, worked with young people for years and years, and with Crusade, I think. And he spoke at the Moody Founders Week, that would identify it, probably last year. And if you went to YouTube, I was shocked at what the statistics he revealed and about the issue of pornography. And he said, if you think your kids are immune, mm-hmm. he said it's one click away. Mm-hmm. And it is as addictive as cocaine. And, you know, sometimes as women, we think, But he talked about the women that are addicted because they say they want to save their marriage or spice it up. And then he talked about how young kids, and you can protect your children, but their cousins come in. Or they can just click and get into it. Young girls, well, I want to know how to get a boyfriend or how to keep a boyfriend. And I was shocked. I mean, I would nearly say women. but you need to listen to that, to open your eyes to what's going on today and how we need to be praying for our husbands, our boys, and pastors, which is a shock sometimes, and that this can become that big a deal. But it's important to know. Okay, and then it says that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands. You know, I always thought, Why? I mean, isn't it natural as women to love? Well, not really at times, but and we think it's easy, but I don't. You'll find that to really love somebody and to live life with them 24/7 can be very, very difficult. And you see, the Christian divorce rate is the same as the world. It does not, the commitment till I get tired of it, you know, is it overrules any vows that so many women take. And you'd be surprised at the need of young women to love their husbands. You know, one of the factors of why so many homes are breaking up, you might say, are you against working women? Well, it's a dangerous place to be.
Amen.
It's a dangerous place to be out there because all these divorcees, men, are looking for a new young thing, and you may be it. And so you have got to, if you're going to be out in the work world, you are going to have to really guard your heart and your life and to know what flirting really is and how you can fall into that trap and how somebody else can lure you into their relationship. And then you've got, you know, so many women don't intend to be to get in a situation where their marriage is compromised, but it's easy to do because the man leaves the wife at home and here we are still in our 90 and don't look good and, you know, griped at them before they left the house that day, and they go out and somebody's dressed up every day looking nice, smelling nice, and it's a temptation. And you fall into that trap by things pin down. You fall into that trap because you know, you've got problems at home, and well, he just listens, you know. He just wants to listen and is very compassionate with my problems. And so thank you. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Anyway, it's dangerous to work in the world. You just put yourself out there and forget about the fact that Satan is really alive and well and looking to how he can get you involved in something that is illicit and that would not please God at all. To love their children. Any of you women at times thought, well, I really love them, but I sure don't like them today, you know, because it's hard, isn't it, with kids. And today our world is so messed up, we just think, what in the world is going to happen as far as our children? But your children need you desperately to disciple them. If a kid is old enough to accept the Lord, he's old enough to begin to grow. Just like Waylon said, when I think Waylon, Max, somebody's dead. But it's important for you to not just relegate your children to the television or their media, whatever they're playing with, because it frees you. So many women think, oh, I'm freed up, I can do stuff, when they're busy. But so to be sensible and pure, and we've alluded to that in several situations, to be pure in the way, in our behavior, the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk. Workers at home, you know, I've often thought one of the negatives of working outside the home is you give your best 8 hours of the day to another man or to an office or to a organization, and you come home and it's tough because as much as men like to think, or we like to think, they're going to carry 50-50 on this load, they never do. They're just not geared that way. And God has made us the homemaker, the nester, the relationship person. And I think the atmosphere of the home, when you come in and you really need to unwind yourself, and yet there's dinner, and the kids are coming in from being bombarded all that day with whatever they go through, and your husband's coming home, and he needs some time. I've heard an illustration, it's kind of gross, but he said it's like two ticks on the dog, but needing to get their needs met, but there's no dog, you know? And so it's, you're an atmosphere builder. You're the one that can kind of keep things under control, have your home in such a, and I say, you know, you really need to be a good housekeeper if you can. Some of you girls have never had the opportunity. Maybe your mother was working and she never trained you and in some of the very practical ways of homemaking. And you need to learn that. If you didn't get it in your home and you're away from home, you look around at some of these other older women whom you admire and you know they walk with God and just say, hey, can you help me? Can you tell me some things? Some girls can't cook. You're going to be cooking for yourself or a family the rest of your life. And you might as well learn some tricks of the trade. Amen. And there are some. Amen. And these ladies, and, you know, we talk about spiritual discipling. Well, that it's all of life. It's not just the quote, spiritual, end quote. You can be mentored. You can talk to somebody and say, hey, I never made a pie in my whole life. Well, would you mind teaching me? And so you can develop a relationship too that way with an older woman that can help you perhaps in many areas. Okay, and so we see that then we come to the area of submission. That's a dirty word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm going to need some water if somebody doesn't mind my decongestants drying me up. I think young women, I think we have a very misguided or misconception about the area of submission. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 5 talks about, you know, and women will say this, well, we're supposed to submit to each other. Well, yes, we are. Submission is the way of life of a Christian. It should be. And I tell young girls, hey, God has called you to, if in a marriage relationship, if you're getting married, he needs to know what a spiritual leader is like. Some men don't, and they can have a pretty heavy hand if they do not learn what spiritual leadership and loving is all about. And you know, the scripture in Ephesians 5 tells us that as men are to love their husbands as Christ loved the church. And as I started to say before, that we think it's easy. We think they got the good end of the deal because we're huggy. You know, we love each, we find it easy to love other women. And we're real huggy, touchy, perhaps. Thank you. And then the scripture tells us that we think it's easy for them, but it's hard because we're not always lovable. I don't know if you figured this out, but you know, they're supposed to love us, and we're supposed to respect and submit to our husbands. And if you haven't figured this out yet, it's like a lock and key. We're a team. It's not that one is inferior and one is superior. I jokingly say I don't have any trouble with submission except when I think he's wrong, you know. and I don't walk around the house thinking submit, you know. You just don't. You're a team. You're partners in this. But when the final decision has to be made, God says the buck stops with him. And God is not going to ask me when I get to heaven, how well did I lead or as a wife? But he's going to say, did you submit? That's what he told me to do. And so, I mean, it's hard. It's hard because none of us are born submissive. I mean, we're just not. And you can be very quiet and gentle, but you've got a will. And so we're like a lock and key. One is not better than the other, and it takes both of us to function in that relationship. But I, and you will learn, there comes a point where you just trust God and let it go. Now, we're not talking about abuse situations, but we're talking about two people who are Christians and trying to walk with God. And girls, when you're thinking about a husband, I hope you will get godly counsel from some other women. Just to give you a brief, I came within 6 weeks, give you a brief testimony. I came within 6 weeks of marrying the wrong guy, and had the wedding dress and had right out of college thinking, how in the world could I get out of college and not be married? And he was going to be a music minister. And I look back and I think, I was in love with love. And but the closer we got to that wedding, he was sure about me, but I had some doubts, not counseling with anybody in our church. And one of the older ladies, my mother's friend, said, they were trying to give me a shower, and I was just kind of dragging my feet. And after I broke the engagement, this lady said, oh, honey, I'm so glad you didn't do that. I didn't think he was right for you in the first place. Mm-hmm. Now, thank you. Mm-hmm. That was, if somebody had stepped up and said, and I don't know, maybe I would have been so stubborn, but I don't know. But I just know that I wasn't counseling with anybody. We didn't have the books to read that you have. And so God, in his graciousness, saved that guy from me, because I did not know what submission was all about. Yeah. I did not know anything, but I think I would have been playing house. And we both would have had a miserable existence. But girls, you get to choose the guy you're going to submit to. So you choose well, or examine well, get counsel. I would say if you're not married, that you need as a couple to get involved, come to some other couple in the church, older couple that you respect, and say, hey, we'd like to get to know you. Like for you to get to give us some ideas, some counsel about a marriage relationship and what's involved. And so you don't get ready for a marriage in a 6 weeks premarital counseling class with the pastor or whoever's going to do it. So you need a relationship with some older people where you can say, hey, what do you think? Is this good? You know? Because as you look around you, I mean, marriages are failing right and left. And, you know, when you get married, the scripture says you become one flesh. And when there's a broken relationship there, it costs you. It costs you, both him and you. So you don't want to make a mistake in that area and go slow in the relationship so that you can really get to know the other person. And if they don't walk with God, doesn't mean that they don't just need to be a churchgoer. They need to be somebody that you can see their walk with God, that if you are in or out of their life, they're going to walk with God regardless. And you need to be that way too. Now, as far as discipling other young women, and I'll finish. Let's see. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about how I got into discipleship. After that broken relationship, God moved me to Dallas, and I met Max. Well, I was not attracted to Max. I didn't necessarily want to go with him, I was a secretary to his boss. And he was going, he was in seminary, and he was going, he was doing student work at two nursing schools and Parkland's and Southwestern Medical School. And so we were at this orientation, And so here I was with this broken relation, broken engagement. So I'm there thinking, who is the next one? You know? And so, and I was Miss Churchgoer. I was so, I was steeped in Baptist church. I mean, I just was. I went to everything, was involved in everything. So when I, there were two single guys there. Max was one, the other was another good looking guy. And I thought, I was thinking, that one. And to my, the end of the story is that guy never ever married. So something was quite not quite right there. Anyway, so Max and I went to the same church at First Baptist in Dallas. And so he noticed me, and he started asking if I'd have a Coke with him after church. Well, I didn't really want to go, but I didn't want to hurt him. And so anyway, I finally had no excuse, and so had a Coke. And he starts talking to me about my devotional life. He said, now, and writing on the verses on a napkin. And he said, you know, if you'll memorize these verses and talked about having a quiet time with the Lord, and he said, it'd make a big difference in your life. Well, now, I dated Christian guys, and I thought, but you're a fanatic. I've never seen one like you, you know. But he started, we just kept going, and I was fascinated, I think, with his walk with God, and he would take me to his nurses' meetings, and I would hear about the disciplines of the Christian life and how to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And I started thinking, do I really know God? These girls, they read their Bible because they want to. I was checking boxes at church. My dad was Catholic. My mom was Baptist, so we didn't have much going at home at all. My dad was a moral man, and so, you know, he wasn't a bad dad at all. And later at 72, by the way, he was baptized. And so that was a thrill. But anyway, so mom had taken me to church. And so that's where that was my orientation all my life was. And so, but I started questioning because I'd hear their answers to prayer. And I thought, you know, I pray God bless the world, forgive me for my sin. And, you know, it's real nebulous. You just can't. And so, anyway, couldn't see answers. So I began to question, and it didn't take long. I'd be all by myself, and I'd say, Lord, if you've never come into my life, I want you to. And so my problem, though, was pride. I did not want to tell anybody that I was doubting my salvation. But I got one morning, I was trying to have a quiet time, and I was so miserable, and I thought, Lord, what is wrong? And that verse popped into my head, if you're not willing to confess me before my Father, which is in, before men, I'm not willing to confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And so I called Max over and I just told him, I said, I'm not sure. And so we got down there, I was 20 some odd, 22, and got down there on our knees in the living room. And I just told the Lord, if he had never become my Savior, I just had all, you know, and I'd go back and forth. I'd gone, surely you're a Christian. Well, maybe, but, and surely you rededicated your lives. You played the organ in church. You've been in all this and that and the other. And, but I didn't know. And, you know, if you don't have assurance of salvation, there's no foundation for growth. Amen. So all the disciplines in the world won't really help you. So, anyway, so that made a big, big difference in my life. And the word began to take on new meaning instead of just being something that I did. Okay, so that was the beginning of growth. And it took us 3 years. And when we got married, it was really neat because in the first engagement, I've been dragging my feet, ordering invitations, that sort of thing. This was one of those things that we would say, if we had not gotten married, it would have been disobedient to the Lord. There was that kind of certainty. And so I was thrilled because I realized you aren't going to just mess up your life if you marry wrong, but you'll mess up his life too. And so it's a serious deal. It really is. So just to think, oh, I'm in love, you better check with God to make sure this is what he wants you to do. Okay, now, as far as discipling other women, if you've got some age on you, it's easier to come alongside of somebody, a young woman, somebody that joins the church, and just say, hey, I've wonder if we could get together for a coffee or something. I'd like to get to know you. And we're relational, so we can come up. It's pretty easy for us to, unless you just feel like, oh, you know, they won't want to be with me, and we don't need to have that feeling, because God has somebody. But you begin to pray, Lord, who do you want me to spend time with, to invest my life in? And generally, it can be somebody you heard last night, somebody in the church that you've known for a while, with a peer. It's easier with you when you're young. You get the idea that, well, they're going to say, well, who are you to help me? We're about the same level. But you can say, hey, I want to grow, and I think I've sensed that you would like to grow. Would you like to get together, maybe, and just share some of the things that God's teaching us, or teaching me, and I'd like to share with you and let you share with me? And so, you, as a peer, you just kind of come alongside somebody, and generally you will begin to be the leader in some ways. I mean, or you will, you'll find that, especially if you're going to be working with a teenager, somebody younger than you, that'll work really good. But with you older ladies, young marrieds are very needy, and you know, you say, I don't have time, or they don't have time. Well, something's wrong with our priorities if we don't have time to do what God has called us to do. And even if it's just one other person, that's what you need to begin with. And you know, from the very beginning of a discipling relationship, women need to know, or people need to know, this, it's not just for you, because God wants you to turn around and help somebody else. You know, physical reproduction has worked very well. You look at the world and you see. But spiritual reproduction should be the natural thing with our relationship with the Lord. And yet, it's not. And so, we need to begin to look and pray and ask God to bring somebody into our life, and he will do that. He'll, where you will really sense this person is interested. And if they're not, go to somebody else. You know, you don't, that maybe they're just not ready right now. But I'm going to give you a sheet of paper.
You need me to help you pass it out?
Yes. Uh-huh. This is not a list that is end all be all. When you're working with somebody, and or when you get together, the first thing you need to do, sometimes there's not a sequence of things you deal with. In other words, okay, first week you do this, second week you do this. But you've heard that you begin to try to sense where, what their needs are. And if they've been a Christian quite a while, they'll be more mature, and you can get to some other things. Okay, that's, everybody got one?
You went that side, right?
Yeah, I think they're right there, okay. These are just some ideas with Scripture, and you can use those as a time to get together, when you get together and talk about. Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he's put everything together here, so that's good. Okay. And you know, there, if you're starting with a brand new Christian, there are multitudes of booklets that people have come up with. Campus Crusade has a book, Book One, and it'll always deal with lessons on assurance. At your Lifeway bookstore, you'll find a whole array now of things, a Bible study booklet. If you think, I need help in knowing what to do, all right, we need to go over this. So if you want a format to follow, then you need to do that to start with. But this is kind of, as you're meeting with somebody later on, perhaps you just want to make sure they have assurance of their salvation. And then you want to deal with, are they having a quiet time? As Waylon said, you've got to get them in the Word, for sure. And so a Bible study booklet will do that with you, for you, as far as if you're going through a series of Bible study books. Scripture memory, but that needs to be coming up, and prayer. Now, those are probably your four basic things that you need to cover in sequence to make sure this is in your own life and in their life. But then the other things can be in random order according to their need. And according, you know, if you don't have any particular thing that you want to talk about next week, say, well, hey, we're going to talk about witnessing. And you can go over some of those verses. And now I'm going to Some people have said, well, what do you do when you get with somebody? I've got a little format in my head, and here's kind of the way it doesn't, I don't go according to the clock, but first of all, you chit-chat. And what that means is, last week this girl said her mother was sick. And so I want to say, hey, how's your mom this week, you know? And how's school going? And just light stuff. Because if their mother has discovered that she's got cancer, and I'm going to say, oh, no, we're going to work on finances today, she's not going to hear a thing, you know. But so you've got to be very sensitive, and that day we'll spend time praying for her mom and letting her talk. We'll just scrap whatever we plan to do because we want to be sensitive to the needs that are there. But as I say, these are random as far as some of the topics that you should say, what are we going to deal with? What are we going to talk about? Well, this will give you some ideas plus some scripture and things you can work with. All right, now, another thing I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to try to uncomplicate this as much as possible. On these topics here, something that's fun with an older Christian, maybe you're meeting with a girl that's your same kind of level with you spiritually, and you can, this is called, Cans and Shelves, that CNS, if you see that anywhere on there, but good, you don't see it. Okay, that was just a name. At home, you've got this pantry, and it's got all these shelves, and you have spaghetti stuff to make spaghetti, and you have stuff to make macaroni and cheese, and you have stuff to do tuna salad. And so you go in there, and you're equipped, whatever you need. Somebody comes to the door, and Max says, hey, y'all, come eat with us. And I'm going, okay. And I can go to my shelves, and I've got various things there, but I can pull off a meal. And so basically, what this is a simplified way of putting together some topics that you can deal with when you're talking with people. Let's say you're getting ready to talk to somebody about prayer, their prayer life. And let me let you look at what I want you to see first, okay? Just a minute. It's the same thing. Okay. Well, one of those would be the same thing. Look at the one that's filled in. It's called Assurance of Salvation. Okay? And the objective is to know without a doubt that your salvation is real. You can use this. You can make your own. I often tell people that discipleship library, there are messages there. You can get all the information you need right there to give you the information to for your subject. Now, when somebody has a problem with something, you don't want to have to go home and look in your files or read a book or whatever before you can deal with it. So I say, these are my brains. I just need one sheet, and I do it, use it all the time, rather than having to go research stuff. But what's a leading question? Just say you're meeting with a girl, and I might say, you know, as I know you've been a church member for a long time, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how certain are you that you'd go to heaven when you died? Because how many of you have ever doubted your salvation? Did you raise your hand? See, it's a common thing. It's a common thing. And so First John says we can know that we have eternal life. We don't think, we don't guess, we don't hope, but we can know. And so I want her, and I want to know for me that I know. Okay, so you can come up. All you need is one question right there, leading question, just how to launch into the subject today. Okay, does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because this can be a confusing thing if you don't, and it's too simplified to be, shouldn't be confusing. Okay, now, motivation. You can say to a girl, hey, let's talk about what the consequences are if you do not have assurance of salvation. What are the consequences? Well, what do you think? Y'all, answer me. What do you think? What are the consequences if you're...
Misery.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay? Sometimes you think you're saved. You're having your period, and you think you're not saved. Worry. Am I not? You know, I did that. How can God... How could I do that and really be a Christian? You can work, you know, say doubt is destructive. It keeps you from witnessing, too. And Satan controls you back and forth. Mm-hmm. All right? Then what is your experience? This is your testimony with the subject, regardless of what the subject is. But this would be your testimony of either, of how you, if you've doubted, how you dealt with it. Okay? Now, verses and passages. Now, this is just three. There's bunches that you can go to with assurance of salvation. And I mark the ones that are really basic that I want to use. So it keys me to what I want to share with them. But 1 John 5:11-12. Anybody know that one? It says, and this is the record. I'm probably old King James, so excuse the... the ye's and thou's and anyway, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, and then you talk about that, you know, you can know, and God is, you either have him or you don't have him. And so John 10:28-29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which is greater than all, gave them to me. Romans 8:38-39. Okay. All things work together. Okay, good. Now, illustrations. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody came up to you Sunday morning and said, the fifth grade Sunday school teacher didn't show today, would you teach? If you've got something on a topic, you can, yeah. I mean, you're prepared. That's what that cans and shelves are. You're prepared for whatever comes your way. Okay. That's the clock. Quick. Okay. This is just yours. There's no right answer, no wrong answers, but it's just a tool for you to have. And if you can get together with several of you and pick a topic and work on them together, and then you just share and say, hey, I like your thing better than mine, okay, you know, write it down. Just get something usable for yourself. It's kind of a neat Bible study type thing to do. All right, illustrations. Anybody seen the bridge illustration? It's in most tracks where there's you're over here, God's over here, or vice versa. You're over here, God's over here. There's a chasm of sin between. You've probably seen that. Okay, so you can do that on a napkin. You know, where are you? You know, but you need to memorize some verses about that. Campus Crusade had the illustration of the coal car. You know, sometimes you feel safe, sometimes you feel not safe, but here's the deal. This is a train. The train says it resembles God's word. God said. The coal car is the fuel. It says, I believe. And the caboose down there says, I feel. It's feeling. Well, feeling, that train can run without that caboose, or it runs with the caboose, either way. But the thing you're focused on is what you're believing, what God said, not what you feel. That makes sense? So, okay. Then how to communicate this with somebody else, to somebody else. They need to understand the difference between fellowship and relationship. Because if you may have disobeyed your dad at home. Now, that disturbs the fellowship, but it doesn't hurt the relationship. You're still his daughter, okay? We're still Christians when we sin. But how do we get back into fellowship with God? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's called the Christian's bar of soap, if you haven't heard that. Okay, so maybe you need to pray with them again. Maybe you need to say, okay, you don't remember what you said or what happened when you first walked that aisle, perhaps, as a kid. Okay, well, let's just tell God where you think you are and ask him to come in, that now you do know. Okay, and so you help him to see the who, not the what, to believe in. Now, at that point, you can stop as far as talking, but you may want to assign them something to do. Like, for instance, those are some booklets and things, materials that you may want to have on hand. Then this discipleship library, and there's scads of messages on any subject that you want. And it would be good. You can nearly fill out one of these forms by somebody. Usually a message will have an illustration. It'll share verses, whoever's speaking. And so you don't have to be original here. And then others of like conviction. Now, I want to say to the girl, hey, you know, I noticed that Pat over here, that our friend Pat, she struggled with that at one point. I want you to go talk to her and ask her how she dealt with that. So she reinforces what I'm trying to get spoken about, okay? Or I can say, I know Jeanette had that too. I want you to go ask her how she dealt with that issue in her life. Okay, so do you see what's happening? They're not the only one in the boat that's doubted, and how they see real quick how that you can deal with that. Okay, now, there may be some real problems that you need to help her with. Maybe she's just not really saved. I mean, that has happened to a lot of us. Maybe there's willful disobedience. She's dug her heels in somewhere. You know, her relationship with her mom's not good. And so she's being disobedient there. Okay. A childhood experience sometimes is really, children can be saved for sure. But sometimes I walked the aisle following another little girl down the aisle. You know, and nobody said it. Why have you come? What are you doing? I was 9. The Lord's Supper had passed, and my mother wouldn't let me take it. And I'm pretty sure that I went, I didn't like that, you know. And I know she explained it later, but, you know, I wanted to be a church member. I wanted to fit in. And I just didn't quite get the point. And so then there's some evaluation or whatever you want to put here. Now, see, I take this and I fold it kind of like this, poke holes in it, keep it in my notebook. Then if I hear a sermon, somebody says something else good I like, I've got a blank on the back, I could do whatever. This is yours. So I meant for him, but it was my fault. This page explains kind of where we were, explains what the subject is about, what I'm trying to get across here. But you can make your own. Somebody's smart in here to do this for him on a computer, okay? And pass it around. That's what I intended, to have a blank so that you can copy it and do what you want to with it. Okay, now, I started to say, and I realized I didn't say this, the format, chit-chat, but then we're going to pray together 15 minutes. Let's just break it 15 minutes. Chit-chat, maybe a Bible study together, 15 minutes, prayer, sharing, scripture memory, scripture review. I don't know if Max dealt with that this time or if it's going to come up again, but you need to begin to start memorizing the key verses that the Holy Spirit can use in your own life and use with others. You know probably a lot, you just don't know their reference. Mm-hmm. And so there is a way that's been developed to really help you in that way. But it doesn't do it by itself. It takes you. Mm-hmm. But there's been some suggestions about how to do it right and to make it as easy as possible. So I think they want us back in there. Mm-hmm. If you have questions, corner me, okay? It wasn't clear because this was really shooting from the hip. And
you had the Holy Spirit speaking for you.
Pardon?
The Holy Spirit.
You're right. Thank you. I ask
you
him
never
to help.
Shoot from the hip. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. And my email is sandbarnett, if you have questions, @gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from anybody that says, hey, I run into this. What? And you know, sometimes you'll get into a situation where girls have really got some deep problems. Mm-hmm. And you may not can handle them, but you can give them to somebody that can help. So,
did you say
Sand? S-A-N-D, okay. Barnett, sandbarnett @gmail. And Max is just maxbarnett @gmail. So if we can help you in any way, you let us know. And, you know, we're all growing in this. We're all kind of, I meet with a girl now she's 34, and we just love to get together now, even though we do book studies together or whatever. But about an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half is what it's going to take you if you do any kind of talking, and girls talk and laugh. and that's good. And you do things with them too. You don't just meet with them all the time. You know, go do something. Say, hey, you want to go shopping with me? Do some fun stuff. They need to see that the Christian life is the best kind of life there is. Amen. And it's a great experience. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have given us the privilege of knowing you and then of being able to see others come to know you and walk with you in obedience and in joy. The joy of the Lord. So, Father, thank you for each of these that are here. I pray you would encourage them, that no one would say, I can't do that. God, with your Holy Spirit, you're right. This sister's right. Well, you're the one. It's your business, not ours. So, Father, thank you so very, very much for the power, the grace you've given us, the love. And we just pray that we'd be very attentive. And God, very open to what you're trying to say to each of us as the rest of the weekend continues. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody want to turn all these apparatuses off?
I just want to thank you so much, Daniel. Mine, you probably can't.
Yeah, he's got it going.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's on code. It's a passcode. So.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Very blessed.
Good.
I brought my dad here. He's a new believer. Okay. He's 93 and he got baptized almost 2 years ago.
Great.
So he's really enjoying it too, but this was really
Thank you. Did you say questions later?
Yeah.
Do I ask you a question later?
Oh, it doesn't matter. No, we can go down. Sure. We can have all you want. Did that help again?
Yeah, no, this was very helpful. I liked it. It was
it's
very
second time around, DC.
Yeah.
I don't know how to shut your thing off.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I know. Y'all may have to help some of those other people.